Welcome to Manager Tools. This week, Developing Professionals, Chapter 1, Housekeeping. The questions this cast answers are, what are the unwritten rules of professional life? How can I train my team members to be professionals? How can you tell a professional from an amateur?
In a recent LinkedIn Learning report, an article outlined that 93% of organizations are concerned about employee retention. And an important point of note in that was the second highest priority for CEOs, not surprisingly, were two training topics around leadership and management. And at Manager Tools, we're privileged to work with managers around the globe, helping with management and leadership guidance. In fact, even more importantly, we teach specifically the topics of retention and results. If you're interested in increasing your team's results and retention, and you're struggling with training topics of leadership and management, we are your solution. Send us an email to maggie@manager-tools.com for more information about how you can bring us on site to help your team.
We probably know this better than anybody else. There's rules for how people should behave professionally.
Uh-huh. Yes.
And some people reach points in their career where you might assume that they would know those rules. Our experience says that's not true. There are people of professional ages which might cause you to assume they had reached a level of professional maturity.
Oh, you know what assume does.
Which genuinely we find isn't necessarily true about, what people should know. And the classic one I've been talking about a lot recently with people is the 40-year-old professional person who doesn't know how to run a good meeting.
Yeah. Really common.
Really common. Interestingly enough, we might be obsoleting ourselves with casts like this one.
Right.
To some extent, because it is our bread and butter to be teaching these things. And if everybody who was 45 knew how to run a meeting, we...
we would have no reason to be here.
We wouldn't have...
Talking to you.
Yeah, we wouldn't. You wouldn't get to hear our dulcet tones. We are here, though, this week to talk to you about developing professionals. And we see a series of casts coming out about this. So a number of chapters coming out. And through a combination of societal, economic, geopolitical, educational, organizational changes, the average inexperienced team member doesn't know many of the rules of the modern workplace.
You're absolutely right. I mean, we talk about this a lot, Kate. I mean, unfortunately, we as professionals are all too often not taught the things we ought to be taught. Almost no organization tells its managers that it's part of their job to teach new employees how to be effective professionals. But it is our job. We live in the land of reality here, not fantasy land. It's our job, even when we don't know, it's our job. And there are rules. We're going to go over the rules. And we're going to go over how to help you help them learn these valuable skills, which will benefit you, your organization, and them in the longer run. It's exactly it.
Today, we're going to cover a manager's job includes professional skills development. Professionals keep their own house clean, and professionals develop themselves. So we'll start with, in case you weren't aware, it's your job as a manager to help your team members develop professionally. And when we think about the decline in workplace professionalism, a lot of P's, we are reminded of a really popular social media meme.
My favorite social media meme, in fact.
Is it? This is the
it
one.
It is. I love this one.
I honestly find it delightful. My favorite thing about it is that it was a cartoon, which then became a meme, which then became a Kickstarter, which then became a stuffed animal.
It's great. Guys, you know the one that Kate's talking about, right? Everyone can envision that, I think he's yellowish, that yellowish colored dog wearing a hat. There's a cup of coffee in front of him. He's sitting at a table and the entire room is on fire.
Yeah, this, he's going to die soon.
Yeah, this is the one. And the best part about the whole meme, which is adorable, is the caption that says, "This is fine." Basically.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, I think the reason it resonates with me, I think it actually resonates with a lot of people a little bit too much, is we oftentimes, and in this case, we as managers, have a front row seat to the growing gap between what we know is professionalism and what we see happening around us in our organizations every day. Right? It's that gap between I know what professional behavior looks like and the things that are happening around me are not this. So that's kind of what we're talking about.
Yeah, workplaces have become less effective and less efficient in the past 20 years, despite and maybe because of the profusion of technical tools that have come into proliferation. It's that the idea, in my mind, it's akin to the idea of, oh yeah, if we just create another way to communicate, Zoom, Slack, whatever,
yeah,
we'll get better at it. When in fact, the problem is not the mechanism, but the user. The workplaces that we exist in have also become more coarse, tense, less collegial, despite, and maybe because of, relaxed workplace rules of, you know, comportment and behavior expectations around how we will behave and the technical tools, which all these things are being put in place to make it.
Yeah, to make us better, to make
better.
Us nicer and kinder and faster. And it's really not helping us, because to your point, Kate, it's the person behind the typed words. That's where the root of it is. And folks, part of the reason that this is occurring is that our new organization members, new hires at all levels of the organization, but more often than not, younger employees, they don't have the knowledge organizations expect and frankly need them to have, because the society from which we draw them no longer teaches them as much as they used to, right? We can complain, frankly, all day we want about what our new people no longer seem to know while shaking our angry fist in the air. Not in my day, folks, not in my day. And I do it all the time. I do it all the time to make fun of myself. And let's be clear, guys, part of that's academic creep. Part of it is.
Yeah.
You're overrating that. I mean, you're giving you 25 years ago far too much credit for how professional they were. But that's beside the point. We know this is going to occur. We know what's occurring now. People aren't being trained these basic professional skills at the same rate they were before. And Society is only going to get worse at what used to be the preparatory role society played in these young professionals' lives. So we need to step up and fill in that gap as managers, as leaders.
Yeah, workplaces are organic places and we're organic creatures. Companies are called organizations, not mechanisms, because they're made of and filled by and run by organisms.
Yeah.
Us. The predominant systems in the company that you work in and in companies around the globe are not algorithms or mechanisms. They're organisms, humans.
Yeah.
And it is up to the managerial organisms who run these organizations to educate new members on the system and processes and behaviors that are necessary and effective and necessary for effective and efficient propagation of the joint organization.
That's exactly it. So what does all that mean for managers today? It means that we need as managers to make part of our development of our directs, their development of basic professional skills. We need to take it upon ourselves as leaders to be the ones imparting this knowledge. And this is going to be far more effective in the long run if we assume that most of our newer directs don't know what these basic professional behaviors are. We need to assume, if they don't have these skills, which we're assuming they do not, that we then must teach them. And it doesn't do us. It doesn't do them. It doesn't do our organization or anybody any favors if we're just going to whine and complain about what our newer colleagues don't know and haven't been taught, regardless of how these people come to us. What they know and what they don't know is within our ability to place a beneficial and active role upon. That is, we need to teach them the standards for how to behave during their time with us within our organization. That is our job as managers. So that's what we're going to do.
Yeah. If you think of yourself as helping to create the new levels of management in your organization, and we recommend that you do, you're not developing future managers and leaders, which is really, honestly, a really important part in your role in running and growing the capability of the organization. If you don't teach them the basics before they become part of running the organization, if we don't teach them, hey, these are the things you need to do when you become a manager or a leader before, then they'll struggle more than they would.
Yeah.
If we could teach them now.
Totally.
And they need to be able to teach this to others so that we can have the same propagation of learning that we're giving them when they become the leaders. So we start now, we teach them, and then they're able to teach future generations, if you will, of managers. Those that do have these skills.
Because some will.
Yeah. They'll move easily through the process of learning and will become really effective for us and the organization really quickly. And those that don't have these skills will come up to speed more quickly if we do take the responsibility now and do what it is that we should and could be doing, even if the organization isn't really helping us or asking it of us or telling us that we're supposed to be doing it.
Yeah. I mean, a great example, and we talk about this often at our conferences, Kate, is feedback. I mean, I tell managers, use your positive feedback as an expectation setting exercise. And this is kind of that, right? It's an expectation setting exercise. You can't get mad that someone didn't do something you never told them to do. It's kind of that. And many of these skills aren't necessarily directly related to what most of us are going to assume are job skills. But these foundational skills are necessary for these individuals and will be for the remainder of their careers. The sooner they learn some of these foundational skills, the faster they'll be able to leverage their job skills to effectively be team members within our organization.
And Sarah's recommendation is a really good one as well. You don't have to wait until you can give them positive and negative feedback. You can teach them right away. You can make them aware of what the skills are and hold them accountable. This can be done by communicating what those skills are and tracking whether or not they're doing them. And the sooner you start doing this in a person's tenure, the more likely it is to be seen as simply a form of on-the-job training rather than corrections of their previous behaviors. If somebody comes into the organization and right away there's expectation of a set of behaviors around meetings or communications or email answering emails or whatnot, and they learn that right away, then it's just how we do it here, as opposed to, oh, you haven't been doing this well in the past, and so we're going to teach you how to do better because you're making a mistake. In this case, it can be done really early and just be an expectation that we've set. And we are going to share that with y'all, how to do this, how to communicate what the skills are and track the use. We're first going to lay out what some of the skills are so that you know what it is we're looking for. And as we mentioned before, we think this is going to be the first chapter in an ongoing, probably long series of guidance, to be frank, y'all, about, you know, what the expectations should be and these skills that we're going to teach them on, starting with professionals keep their own house clean.
Yeah, exactly. One of the core principles of professionalism is engaging in basic self-maintenance skills about how to work within an organization. Guys, almost no one comes to a larger organization with any experience on how to behave in a larger organization. I mean, that's by definition what happens. They don't know the nature and necessary ethical underpinnings of role power. For instance, those aren't lessons that many of us have learned prior to organizational life. And it's highly unlikely that they've been taught the critical roles of results and relationships by now. And that's something that they'll need to know for the rest of their careers. We shouldn't assume that schooling, that their university degree, has in any way given them insights about why relationships matter and why results is number one and all of the role power-based complications that occur in organizations. School doesn't teach you that.
Mine didn't.
Me neither.
And I mean, I suppose an engineering degree, perhaps you wouldn't assume, although I would almost, it could go either way. You might not assume that an engineering degree would teach you that. And you might assume because an engineering degree is pretty, how should I say it? What I would say is that degree comes with the assumption that you would move into a professional world.
Yeah, totally.
To an extent. And then therefore, hey, you should probably know these other things.
Yeah, these will
help
you.
The assumption is that you'll end up in a professional situation. They don't often, you know, assume that you're just going to go work somewhere without other people. Engineers usually need other humans involved. So that's an organization. Even plenty of part-time work in smaller organizations won't necessarily have given them these basics. If they worked in a little office or something.
Restaurant. Many of us started our first jobs were in service.
Absolutely. And I, you know, thinking about waiting tables, they do not teach you that role power is supposed to be full of kindness. I bartended for years. Role power in bartending is just who can yell the loudest, which is not what we're doing here. And okay, so my experience didn't necessarily teach me this at work or at school. Some schools do. Some schools do teach this, and that's awesome. However, lack of socialization, increase in the use of social media, and digital relationship building have really left people unready to engage in the kind of ongoing collaboration and interpersonal communication skills that are core to a professional's ability to perform in an organizational context. Mm-hmm. Interestingly, I was having a conversation recently with somebody about how if a person is on social media, it is assume that you know some stuff that's going on in their life. Mm-hmm. And it negates the need for a lot of conversation when you see someone you haven't seen in a while, which is terrible.
Yeah.
They just assume, oh, obviously you saw my trip to such and such with so and so. And then you don't get to ask them anything.
Yeah.
How was your trip? And by the way, their trip didn't include them talking to strangers, which I'm not suggesting you do. It didn't include them making new friends because they can talk to their friends at home instead of making new friends while they're traveling. So there is degradation around social behaviors because of these things.
Completely.
So, okay, social media aside.
Well, folks,
we want to talk about something else.
Yeah, exactly. We don't often tell you all how much, but many of our podcasts have a genesis, a reason. There's something in mind when we write them. The genesis for this one specifically comes from a collaborative project that we recently experienced. So we were working with an important vendor on an important project that had multiple serial deadlines. We could not believe that our primary contact with this vendor, for whom we've done business for years, allowed their voicemail to be full and was therefore unable to accept messages. Our collaboration with him and this firm on a matter worth hundreds of thousands of dollars to both parties, them and us, was essentially delayed by one person's inability to accomplish some basic professional housekeeping, which, is kind of a big deal. It kind of brings to light an issue that we haven't talked about yet.
Which is that there are rules.
Yeah.
And we know, maybe other people get reminded because we enforce those rules. It doesn't matter that nobody told anybody the rules. They're still there.
Yeah, exactly.
Organizations, groups of people, count on these rules regulating work among the individuals. Whether anyone knows the rules or not, you're still obligated to follow them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, sure, that seems unfair. We could get chapped about it. And it's really only recently that fairness has become a consideration in much of professional life.
Right.
A lot of professional life is not fair. And it's a dumb thing for us to bring into the argument. There are rules. You're expected to follow them. If you don't know them, we're going to tell them to you.
Right.
And we've got some professional housekeeping rules that you should know. And what we're going to say is, here's some professional housekeeping rules that you can start teaching your directs. And if you learn them now, okay.
Okay,
exactly. We're going to give you the benefit of the doubt that you know them.
Right. And you can tell
and if
other
you
people.
Don't, yeah, we're sharing it with you. So you have them written down somewhere to share with your directs.
Exactly. All right. So the first, you have to keep your voicemail available. The tool was provided to deal with busy schedules. You must check your messages regularly. You must clean out your messages regularly so that other people can continue to use the tool which you and they have been provided for use. Voicemails actually imply a greater urgency than email. If it could wait, they would have typed you an email. People only call if it's urgent. And therefore, what that means is if you've got a voicemail, you must respond promptly.
Yeah. And your voicemail, maybe this isn't a rule. Maybe mm-hmm. it's just a personal preference. It'd be great if your voicemail said you've reached and then your name. I call people's voicemails, professional people's voicemails, and hear the recorded, this is 512, you know, 555. It's like, did I call the right person? I have no idea.
Right.
So you have to know what's in your email. Well, okay. So voicemail.
Voicemail.
Yes. You have to check your voicemails, y'all. You have to listen to them and answer them.
And have a nice standard professional greeting that tells people who you are. Exactly.
Yeah. You're just, hi, you've reached Kate Braun. Please leave a message.
Yeah.
Not difficult. Email.
Uh-huh.
So a little less urgent. And you have to know what's in your email within 24 hours of it coming into the inbox, uh-huh. 24 hours of receipt. Email is another tool provided for asynchronous communication, like voicemail. We know some people who complain, oh, I got 50 emails today. And we also know professionals who get hundreds of emails a day and have learned how to manage it. And there's a cast for that. In fact, there's a whole series. It's like 7 parts long, I think, the email compendium is. Because of the tsunami of email people deal with. I had somebody in a conference who said, well, Kate, my problem is I get so many email. And I said, oh, and I used to play a game with people about how many email they get because a lot of people leave the unread bubble uh-huh. on there.
Oh, I hate that thing. That just makes me wanna. I can't.
Mine's turned off because there is always email and there will always be email. And so having the bubble causes me to behave in ways around email that are not indicative of the status yes. of the email. And I used to like to run a little contest of how many unread emails people had, contest of shame, obviously. And so I asked him, how many emails a day do you get? And he says, oh, 40. Somewhere
it's
between,
not even a competition now.
Somewhere between 150 and 600 email a day is normal. For professionals in large organizations. So if you get 40, that's a Sunday.
Yeah.
In my world. And you have to respond.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, it's not enough just to be aware of emails. That is, you have to respond if a response is warranted, obviously, within 48 hours. And if it's your boss, you have to respond that day.
Even just to say, hey, I've received your email and I'm working on it. You don't have to answer the whole email. This is the question right. I get. Well, Kate, I don't have the answer. I didn't get it done. I need a week to get it done. Absolutely. No problemo. Mm-hmm. Acknowledge.
Yeah. Catch the ball.
Just acknowledge the email and say,
Yeah.
That's I'm working on it.
I'm working on it. Got it. We'll have you something by X and give a status, or you'll have your next update by Y, right? Like so just something so that they know you saw it. Your eyes touched it. You caught the ball. Again, you have to learn how to manage your email. And what that means is not doing it all day long between each and every meeting. And then because you've seen it, but you haven't been able to action it, marking it unread because you're going to have to go back and you're going to have to read it again. You're going to have to do the thing that you have to do with it. It's that.
That's simply marking emails unread that are not useful to you.
Right.
Or marking emails read that are not useful to you, which is essentially exactly. just lowering your inbox count, which is not the same thing as doing your email.
Right.
Lowering the amount of emails that have been unread is not the same thing as getting your work done.
Right. And it's doing the more urgent emails that need action multiple times. If you didn't have time to do it the first time, you certainly don't have time to do it again. So yeah. There's also that.
You don't have a conversation with someone more senior than your boss without notifying your boss.
Oh, good one. That is such a good one.
Nobody's going to like this. You show up to work on time.
Ooh.
And if you're going to be late, you let your boss know. Not a colleague, not your best buddy at work, your boss. You text them, you Slack them, you call them, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Also, you show up to meetings on time.
Yeah, well, while we're at it.
And someone's going to send us your angry email. That's what someone somewhere is chapped. And listen, if that means you have to leave a meeting that has not ended in order to be on time to your next meeting, just leave.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand how people tell me all the time how much they dislike meetings, and then they stay in meetings that they don't want to be in.
Right.
Just leave.
Just leave. Exactly.
Which, by the way, leads to put the first thing on the agenda as the most important thing.
Oh my gosh,
so
right?
That if your meeting runs long, we're talking about something that's not that important so people can leave.
Right, exactly. If they have to go to another meeting, which they probably do, and let people go. While we're on timeliness, you meet your deadlines. And if you can't meet your deadlines, you notify your boss or the manager of that task in advance and let them know, I'm not going to be able to meet this deadline. And to go a step further, and I'm not asking too much here, folks, not 5 minutes before it's due, but the moment you realize it's at risk. No, actually, the moment you realize it might be at risk, let the person know you might miss. If you're going to miss, you owe communicating a new deadline that you're going to make, right? I can't have it to by X, but I will have it by Y. So sorry. Again, with enough information to do something about.
These behaviors, professional behaviors, meeting deadlines, being personally on time, are the same professional behavior of respect for time, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
We're asking you to be professional around your time management. You're also obligated as a professional to be polite and kind to other people. Say please and thank you and I'm sorry and use other people's names.
Uh-huh. Exactly.
Know their names.
Know and their use those names. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, don't speak ill of your employer. That's also a professional standard. You must keep your desk professionally clean. And folks, it can get messy in the middle of the day, but only with work product, not like food and personal cluttery things. And the reason for it is this is a form of respect for your colleagues. Clean your desk before you go home every night. There can be work product on it again, but it must be arranged neatly overnight.
Get a little stack of shelves.
Get a little stack of shelves. I mean, remember the basics.
In common areas, clean up after yourself.
Yes.
Honestly, just clean up after yourself. And in common areas, do so. Other people work there. You're not the only person using the break room. And dress, attire must be neat and professional at work. Also, this is respectful of your colleagues.
Uh-huh.
This is to include days where you work from home.
Exactly.
Polo shirt, little collar on your jacket.
Exactly.
That you wear, you know.
Right.
Of course, this is only the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, we've simply started creating a list. As Kate mentioned earlier, intend to publish many casts in the coming months and years that contain bits of this guidance. All of them will be one part long. That is the goal here. so that you can listen to them each in bite-size increments instead of them being drug out over multiple weeks. And we'll try to release them in such a way that we group similar topics together so that you get a full picture of them without sticking other content in between the topics.
Hey, y'all. On March 30th, in just a few days, we'll be starting a virtual effective communicator course. And that session is going to help teach you how to use DISC to communicate. It's going to give you an overview of DISC. Also, how to use your knowledge to understand another person's DISC profile and communicate more effectively with them. We'd love to host you on March 30th at our virtual effective communicator event that starts at 10 a.m. Eastern. You can sign up online at manager-tools.com/training. See you there.
So the last piece then of today is that professionals develop themselves. Okay. You don't have to schedule classes with your new directs to teach them these behaviors. To Kate's point a moment earlier, we know you've already got these and we'd like you to pass them down, but you don't have to hold classes, nor do you have to wait until you've rolled positive and negative feedback out so that you can make rewards or corrections and talk to them about their adherence or lack thereof. There's no need to wait.
The easiest way to help your directs learn these behaviors is to publish them.
Yeah.
Put them up on an internal site, provide a timeline. Think of the kind of timeline and checklist we provided in our onboarding cast. And
yeah, that's a good
one. If you have a license, you can download the spreadsheet.
Mm-hmm.
Ask your directs to check the schedule weekly and self-report on their adherence
Perfect.
To these.
Easy.
Yeah, and periodically review their performance, perhaps with the more senior people on your team. In order to engage your more experienced directs in this effort,
yeah,
collaborate with them mm-hmm. on the list. Allow them to add them to this process by allowing them to add rules that we or you have forgotten, provided you agree with those rules. Sometimes their pet peeves come up and some might be valid mm-hmm. and some might not. The question is just, it's simple. Is the behavior being considered a widely recognized professional standard of behavior?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
In addition to sharing this with your more experienced direct, encourage them to self-evaluate. Ask them, how are they doing on these things? It'll make it a lot easier for you to counsel your new team members if everyone on the team is setting a similar example.
Totally.
And if the people who have been there for a while are engaging in the same set of standards.
That's exactly it. So to wrap it all up, it's our role within organizations, because no one else is going to do it but us, to teach basic professional behaviors. They're a necessary an underappreciated part of what makes human organizations so successful. The best way to work well together is to be aware of how our behaviors impact the others around us. And the best way to do that is through following some simple, basic behaviors to ensure that we all work well together.
Thanks, Sarah.
Thank you, Kate.
Now that you've heard this cast, it might be that you want to help your directs to learn these skills. And to support you in that, we've set up a forums post. We've called it Developing Professionals Chapter 1 Housekeeping Playlist. And there we've included a playlist of sorts, 6 casts that you might want to share with your directs for them to learn these basic skills. And you can simply send them the forums post. That way they can listen to those casts at their leisure when they need to. Please, if you are looking for those casts, feel free to go to the forums and look for that post and those casts that you can give your directs. That's all, folks. We'll see you back next week with a new topic. Bye, y'all.
Bye, guys.